Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We never finished, and I hate dragging this stuff on, but it's really, really important. We must place clear context to what the heck is going on. And I'm endeavoring to do that, which is kind of why we kind of pointed to the importance. And I've, over the past couple of days, I've been kind of telling you, we need to have a definitive and almost a canonized, I'll just say, Constitution. We, not this ambiguity and interpretation. We have the clarity of what that document really means, and we can prove how the justices and how politicians, bureaucrats, and all sorts of people have done nefarious things to help aggrandize the federal government and their own access to power. Friends, it's time we get to the truth. And this is why I kind of point to most organizations are profit-based. Parties really can't be profit-based. And however, the way the Republican and Democratic and most all parties have been, established, have been profit-based in one way or another. They've become the vehicle for corruption, for their version of corruption to gain control. That's why when we point to the Uniparty, there's really very little difference between the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. It's just how they want to control the corruption. Bottom line, this is why when you saw George Bush Sr. come into office, let's start with George Bush Sr. He actually started implementing changes to inject very specific people. People that had ties to the Islamic Brotherhood, going into the FBI, and he really started the building of the deep state within the government. They knew they needed loyalists to be able to do things that were unconstitutional and support the agenda. So bottom line, as things went to Clinton, there wasn't, this upheaval within the deep state between George Bush and Clinton. And isn't it ironic that from Clinton to George W. Bush, there wasn't this upheaval? Like, how many people recognize the deep state? I mean, I seem to be getting a relapse of that walking pneumonia. We're trying to fight it before we have to go see the doctor. But anyway, because I'm getting this cough back, so that frog is getting bigger. Anywho, back to this important information. I want you to know that when we are looking at these players in the deep state, and when we went to George W. Bush, there was no upheaval. As a matter of fact, the agenda really kept going. There was just if you understand English on a cue ball or English on a baseball, when you start getting something to spin, how you can create a curve ball, how you can get a ball to do some interesting things, there was really just only minor English. The spinning of this wrecking ball just changed, but it was still on the same course. So when Obama stepped into office, he basically, took over, and they've all been working in tandem to move America in a very specific direction. Now, in comes Trump. Now, all of a sudden, the deep state and the information that has been building, Robert Spencer wrote a book about the deep state and how Islam has penetrated factions of our government, in federal, in the FBI and other federal agencies, and how there have been other injections that other people have exposed. But the point in fact is that when Trump came in, it was almost all of a sudden, wow, how deep does this deep state go and how bad is it really? Well, we knew over the past 4 years, and I've even proven to you, that there's no such thing as just a few select people. I mean, even Sean Hannity said, well, we don't believe the entire FBI is, you know, corrupt. I'm sorry. When you are in a department, agency, office, it doesn't matter. When your government, when your existence, the department, it's the overall agency, is unconstitutional, then how much more corrupt can you get? Well, all of a sudden you become active players in supporting really nefarious things, not just the fact that what you're doing is unconstitutional. This is why we're teaching people to understand the Constitution so that you have a firm grasp, profound understanding of what the Constitution really is and how much unconstitutional government we're dealing with. So anyway, we want to kind of continue through this. We will get into the marketing, but I believe the bedrock, laying down this foundation of the argument in these types of things as we look at what's going on, and the reason why the Convention of States and the party and all of these things are so important at this point is because these are the things that are being confronted in your state houses as we speak. There are 5 state houses that I believe are under a barrage of attack from the Convention of States. And so this is why I consider this information paramount. Now, if you want to make a comment, we have our comment line, 425-270-5416. And this show still is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And we still are the only show that's going to give you the academic-based evidence. Now, I'm not here to be the entertainer. I'm not here to, you know, keep you captivated on the news cycle. What I'm trying to do is give you the empirical evidence and the proof so that you can obtain the resolve in committing yourself to actually doing something about this. I'm going to touch on some things that are really, really important because we're going to put it into context. So we're going to dive forward, but I have a couple more announcements real quick. The Red Pill Expo will be held in Rapid City, South Dakota. Plan on being there. I've got to check with the boss, but I would like to make it so that I can actually connect with the good representatives in South Dakota that I've been working with. We've talked on the phone. We've never met personally, and so I think it's important that I try to find some time to get there. It's within reasonable driving distance because I do not like flying anymore since the deep state has all of the controls that it has. I will if I have to, but anyway, I won't be flying there. So anyway, we would ask that and continue to ask that you continue to turn on your like-minded friends, and those people who might actually, one, be either interested or at least need some help understanding because they just don't understand what the heck's going on. You know, folks, there are going to be more and more people that are going to be coming to the trough going, what the heck is going on? Why is it that, you know, our government is doing these things? And it would become clearer and clearer that we are heading into a state of despair. And so, to avoid that, or to at least be able to cut them off so that they don't push us off the cliff, we have things that we need to do. And so with that, let me just kind of dive forward. And again, you've got to understand that all this fuss about the Convention of States is a distraction in some respects, but one of the problems is the mixed metaphors that are coming down the pipe from this. Now, when I say it's a distraction on the patriotic side. And I say that because I see both people on both sides of the aisle absolutely, you know, in just sees they're hostages to this one debate when we have such bigger problems. I want you to understand that those who are involved in the Convention of States have been incorrectly educated to think that amending the Constitution deals with constitutional breaches of the Constitution, overreach, you know, the violations of the Constitution. An amendment does not do that. And we've covered this a lot. But what I want you to understand is that a constitutional amendment is like putting lipstick on a pig at this point. What we have to do is we have to enforce the Constitution. Friends, you've got to know that the days ahead will pale in comparison to the tyrannical days of Clinton. I mean, when you think of some of the things that Clinton did, people died. Remember Ruby Ridge. Remember the Waco with the Branch Davidians. I mean, there were plenty of people that died under Clinton's watch. Look at Obama. And look at some of the crap and institute and how he sullied both our Constitution and our Republic by subjugating us, by literally putting us underneath other states and allowing them to and enabling them to do things and to trash us. Anyway, what about Wilson and FDR? We're going to get into Wilson and FDR when we get back. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL. Or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so as I was just saying, if you think that the days ahead will be, you know, like Clinton and Obama, no. As a matter of fact, if you really look at how Teddy Roosevelt was kind of like the Clinton of, you know, our era, because what did Teddy Roosevelt do? Teddy Roosevelt started stepping on the Constitution by creating the Trust Busters, by creating the Department of Forestry and the parks and started reaching into labor. And when Wilson came in, and you got to remember that Teddy Roosevelt helped Wilson get in because Taft was not progressive enough. I mean, if you go look at the history, the reason why Teddy Roosevelt got back into the race or wanted to look at, supposedly he wanted to look at another run at being president. Nope, sorry. What he really did was he helped Wilson, even a darker, more progressive. How was Wilson darker? You know, he was the first governor. I think it was New Jersey. I'm not sure. But he was the first governor to start sterilizing kids, or I should say those who had, you know, some types of, back in those days they used the word retardation, but disabilities and or handicaps and or what have you. And so he started sterilizing kids. And Wilson was on board with the concept of eugenics. He was a very evil president. As a matter of fact, he was the one that started spending, and it basically looked at, he added to the debt, just like all the presidents today are doing, added to the debt, and then instituted this thing called the 16th Amendment, which brought us our direct income tax. You got to understand, folks, that everything that they're spending the money on, practically everything today they're spending money on, is unconstitutional. We don't need to pay an income tax if the federal government complied to the Constitution. We go through this, and we even prove, that's why you need to listen to this, that the entire debt of this nation, the entire debt of this nation is unconstitutional. Those countries who have debt to America, that have loaned us money, have done so as duplicit partners in fraud. They have to know that we, based on our Constitution, they have to know this. They all know this. This is how they're all working together to undermine our constitutional republic. So when I say that the days ahead will be more like Wilson and FDR, I probably should say actually Teddy to FDR. Because what do we have? Taft was not progressive enough. Taft actually started becoming a laissez-faire president, allowing things to just kind of happen, and just maintained the structure that he was handed. Because he didn't know that a lot of this crap that Teddy did and other presidents before him had done, the Department of Agriculture and so forth, was all unconstitutional. Plus, if he did understand, he should have understood, or he should have at least had a glimmer of understanding that in the Constitution, the president does not have the job or responsibility of forcing the federal government into compliance. This is why I've pointed to, you know, what Trump should have done was Trump should have gone to the states. But let's get back to FDR, because that's what it all builds to. We had Harding, and then we had Coolidge. Now, people looked at Harding as if, wow, you know, he was kind of conservative. No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't. There's, you know, there's bad press on Harding. There's good press on Harding. And most people look at Coolidge as this, you know, conservative, this example or exemplar like Ronald Reagan. And I'm here to tell you, my friends, that Coolidge did not, so he was a progressive, he was a self-proclaimed progressive, and one of the things that I want you to understand is he was the champion for unions and for the federal government to control labor. But the one thing I actually respect about Coolidge is he wasn't going to just aggrandize the government by just taking over labor. He was the champion for an amendment to give the federal government the ability to regulate labor. And so when you look at the 1926 amendment that was under his watch, and you start understanding how he was a huge supporter of organized labor, you have to appreciate the fact that at least he wanted to abide by the Constitution, because he took an oath to the Constitution to support it. And he understood that, because one of the things, let me finish. He understood that there is a very specific process. He was taught that you had to abide by the Article 5 process if the federal government is going to take on a new power. And so later on, when they finally came to, you know, the end of, who was it, Hoover. So Hoover was in office, and they came to him and said, we'd like you to run. because we don't think Hoover is going to be able to do what they need to do. And, you know, Hoover's gone down this because Hoover was a progressive Democrat. He was a socialist, if not communist. But when Coolidge looked at the government and he says, you know what, I may be progressive, but I'm not progressive enough to take on this government and to take on this agenda. Because they wanted to expand, and that was the populist movement, because the people were, and here, you know, let's call it for what it is. This was the greatest generation that was, you know, asking for handouts, asking for support, and most of all their problems were inflicted upon them by government. And they were, let's say, a clueless generation. They embraced Social Security. This is one of the conversations I had with my father, that he started looking at what his generation failed to do. And he goes, yeah, I see your point. We've dubbed them as the greatest generation because they were willing to take their beating. They went to war and they allowed America to embrace socialism. I want you to understand what FDR did due to the desperation of the nation that was caused by Hoover and then FDR. They started doing exactly what Obama did, and they had unfettered access to doing everything that they did. Look at FDR had propaganda machines that when you went to the movies to get your news, that was really nice. They gave you all the information of what you needed to do. They created the Blue Eagle, which was the compliant with the federal government regulations in business and business practices, because, and I think it's Jonah Goldberg, Liberal Fascism. It's a book you've got to read because he points out all of the things that FDR did that was so tyrannical. One of the things, and I'll just give you this real quick overview, is that the eagle that was supposed to go over every business, the federal government was dictating how much you should have to pay for your pants being cleaned and pressed, or the dry cleaners. And every business out there, they literally federalized and regulated every single business out there. What they did was they went after, they arrested and charged a guy for failing to comply to the federal regulations, excuse me, because he was cleaning and pressing your suits, pants, and clothes less than what the federal government expected him to charge. In other words, he felt he didn't need that kind of money, and he wanted to pass that savings on. And so he was arrested and charged. Do you understand? Unless you start really looking at the history and you start looking at the rationing books and those types of things, are you aware of the fact that manufacturing of cars in America actually ceased supposedly for the war effort? The use of green ceased because of the war effort? I am here to tell you that FDR did not get to finish, and I believe that was the divine hand of providence, what he was looking to do. And Truman was obviously clueless, because Truman was not the same as the vice president prior to Truman that ended up not making the grade anymore. But the vice president, as a matter of fact, the song I use for this radio show was commissioned by the vice president of FDR. Go look it up. It's Fanfare for the Common Man by Copeland. Go look it up. You'll find that the vice president of the United States wanted to have a majestic theme for people to rally in submitting themselves, because look at the name, Fanfare for the Common Man, that the common man in America rises up and controls. It's collectivism. This song I am using is to fight back against them, that we do have to rise up, not as a common man, but as individuals fighting for our individual liberty and individual sovereignty, not as the common man to subject ourselves to government. And so, anyway, I get a little little up and anyway, the desperation and tyranny we are going to face, like what they had to face with FDR, is magnitude multiple. I mean, we're looking at the government shutting down your businesses. And how long are they going to do this? A friend of mine sent me information that the World Health Organization, the World Bank, says that they need this pandemic to go to 2025. How well will you be financially in 2025 if you can't work? How sick will America become economically? Not the global companies, because they can just lay you off. But how will we be, and how desperate will we be by 2025, continuing this charade? Anyway, charade. Anyway, we'll be right back after this.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so I was going down this path of really giving you the historical look at how bad it really got for America. People don't understand the times ahead. And so I am trying to actually connect some dots here for you. This is why we cannot, out of one side of our mouth, claim that the Constitution is illegitimate because it was a runaway convention. I am telling you that if the Constitution was illegitimately done, then and let's be clear here, Continental Congress was the recipient of the Constitution. They were asked to forward it out to the states. Had it gone back to the states, the states may have just thrown it away. They needed, let's just say, Pontius Pilate. They knew. If you go through the notes on the Constitutional Convention, they were very aware of how nefarious the government and those in power in the state governments were. Now, when I say nefarious, it was their own little fiefdoms. And they believed they had the best of both worlds. And what we were witnessing was truly the tragedy of the commons played at a national level, because there were plenty of states, plenty of little states like Rhode Island and Connecticut and so forth, that couldn't necessarily bear the brunt, and they were living under this protection because the bigger states were actually the ones that were volleying in. If you go forward and look at the Assumption Act, you will notice that the bigger states were the ones that actually paid their debt. Pennsylvania, Virginia. And so when some of these smaller states who couldn't pay their debt, and the industrious states in the South, the agricultural states, they were able to pay their debt. But Massachusetts was having a hard time. And so was some of the Rhode Island definitely had a hard time. But what they did was they inflated their currency. So they basically gave the Confederation useless money. What we had was a national crisis. Do not look at what was going on at that point in time as anything other than that. This is why George Washington was convinced that he needed to lead the nation in the Second Revolution. Now, here, is it legitimate for Americans to cast off their government to create a new government? And I want you to understand something, that this is evidence, this is proof that we can cast off the unconstitutional government without having to fight a revolutionary war. Because did Washington have to go fight and deploy military when they, you know, when the Articles of Confederation were failing and they had to create this new constitution? No. As a matter of fact, that is evidence that they successfully cast off the bad government. Our problem today, folks, isn't the Constitution. It is the government. So we don't need to rewrite the Constitution. This is why, I'm going to get back to what I just said, we cannot, out of one side of our mouths, be sullying the Constitution as illegitimate or based on an illegitimate convention when it aligned directly with the Declaration of Independence. We had the right. It doesn't matter what the states wanted. These men were leaders and they did the right thing. You cannot place context. You cannot place an analogous comparison to the Constitutional Convention and what Mark Meckler is trying to do with the Convention of States. A Convention of States is not the mechanism. This is why we go through all of this. This is why this is so clear. Once you understand the Constitution, the concept that it is a compact, who the parties are, and what the parties have, what they possess is their power. And this is why we point to the resolutions of 1798, 1799, so that you can understand that the states have all the power to get rid of and dispose unconstitutional government. Anyway, this is why it is important. This is why yours truly is a champion for uniting on this legitimate Constitution. And I don't buy, and I believe that it is the intent behind using a runaway convention is only an adjective that they want to use to invoke fear of the Convention of States. As far as I'm concerned, there is adequate marketing, there is adequate information from Meckler and the Convention of States to prove that what these guys are doing will be a runaway convention. The question is, are we in a position where we the people have to cast off our Constitution or we have to cast off our government? And in the convention of 1798, the people had to cast off the Articles of Confederation. The Constitution was the problem because it allowed the states to do their nefarious deeds. And these men were, no doubt in my mind, inspired by God to do everything that was necessary in blessing this nation with the miracle we call the Constitution. And I refuse for several reasons, and one very, very personal that I will not share with you. There's very few people I will share that information with. But I refuse to stand and allow that paradigm to move forward as the ultimate argument against the states. Come on. There is plenty of things that the that Meckler is proving. The question is, because bottom line, states can actually create standards, and they can actually shut the door on Meckler so he can't hijack them by using one of their representatives to say, we have to have a debate on this. Bottom line, they need to pass a resolution. They need to pass a regulation for the state to say, prior to us allowing a debate on a petition for the Article 5 process, we must have evidence that proves that the Constitution is deficient or that a role, responsibility, or power needs to be taken or a role, responsibility, or power needs to be added. We have to have proof that the Constitution is the problem. And so, therefore, when these legislators that become the shill for Mark Meckler, who he possibly wines and dines and does things and says, you know, if you can do this, you'll have an opportunity to, you know, have this great seat as a delegate in this perpetual convention. Because I'm telling you, that's exactly what his motives are. There's more evidence that Meckler doesn't care about solving problems. He's trying to create a perpetual convention. But this is why I've been railing on groups who've been casting the incorrect light on the Constitution by calling the 1787 convention a runaway convention. When one takes a fundamental class on the Constitution, why isn't this taught? I mean, go to Hillsdale. Does Hillsdale start the constitutional lessons off with, well, we want you to know that the Constitution was derived from a, you know, an unconstitutional convention, that it was a runaway convention? No. Why is it that they don't do that? Because it doesn't fit any narrative. The only narrative that using runaway fits is in trying to fight the Article 5 process instead of actually dealing with the facts that there is no justification for an Article 5 petition for a constitutional convention. Unfortunately, America, so it's the champion of this is the organization that says they're going to educate people out of this, but they're not. They're not educating people in the process that they need to go, and that's because they chose. I want you to know, I went to it starts with green. There was the operations coordinator for this organization. We'll go nameless today, but. Green something. Anyway, I sent him an email and said, I want you to look at this. And what this person sent back is that we're really busy doing our own thing. We don't really care about, you know, so we're not going to give you an opinion or a position on this. But this organization has been actively trying to shut me, and they try to discredit me, not the process. It's interesting. As a matter of fact, every time I get somebody from this organization who really cares, is passionate, and sees what's going on. As a matter of fact, this just happened this weekend. And so what's interesting is that when they really look, and this person's actually objective, they go, wow, this is really good. This could actually stop the Constitutional Convention of States. Many people that are in the trenches fighting for a convention of states, you give them information on Republic Review and the fundamental basis of it, those people will walk away from those trenches. So why is it that this organization doesn't get behind this? Again, this only proves one theory: follow the money. They lose money, or they recognize that they will lose relevance, because after we successfully revolt against unconstitutional government and get back into the framework of the real government and the true laws of this nation, we unemploy a lot of people on both sides. A lot of people. So you have to understand the motives behind this. The casting of the light is the end justifying the means, because those arguing finds it easier to sully the Constitution or the convention by using this word instead of other more appropriate words, such as words Madison used. Again, when we come back, I'm actually going to give you just one small excerpt, because there were two sides of this argument even back then. And these men understood that I'm going to bleed right into the break. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and their 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.addlocal.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so let's try to wrap this up because this is the last segment, and I want to get through Mr. Pendleton's comment and so forth. But what I want you to understand is that there were two sides to this argument, and when you only portray one side to justify your argument, how disingenuous is that? Especially if you want to claim to be on the moral high ground. One has to look at the inalienable rights of every American. And an inalienable right is the casting off of bad governments. They had 6 years of inoperable Articles of Confederation. They knew that they were destined to ruin. And so there may be things that are not mentioned, but these men understood this inalienable right of casting off this government. Those who kept on trying to shine the light, because I want you to understand that the same people that are arguing that this was a runaway convention lost the argument. One of the things I learned in doing research on the 14th Amendment was by Dr. Lash, Kurt Lash. He pointed out that even though during the debates, there's 263 pages of debates, and when you look at the Congressional Globe pages, I mean, a page is like three pages. So if you take 263, that's like 900 pages of dialogue between and debating the 14th Amendment. And Kurt Lash says that even though there may have been a greater number of people arguing against and saying inflammatory things, you must throw those things out because ultimately, what everybody bought into were the few arguments and the few words that shone the true light on the 14th Amendment that everybody resonated with. It's the same thing with the Constitution. There were two sides to this, and though there may be voluminous record out there that, you know, gives you these pithy little comments of how bad, and even those who actually talked about it, but they completely ignore maybe some of the unspoken inalienable rights that these men were exercising. So where are the other comments that supported the actions? I'm going to give you one. And if you go through the ratification debates, very similar comments had been made.
And this is Mr. Pendleton. And even though he doesn't point to, even though he doesn't point to the Declaration of Independence, he didn't need to, because this is what he said. Mr. Chairman, we are not to consider whether the Federal Convention exceeded their powers. It strikes my mind that this ought not to influence our deliberations. This Constitution was transmitted to Congress by the Convention, by the Congress transmitted to our legislature, by them recommended to the people. The people have sent us hither to determine whether this government be a proper one or not. I did not expect these papers would have been brought forth, although those gentlemen were only directed to consider the defects of the old system and not devise a new one, if they found it so thoroughly defective as not to admit a revising and submitting a new system to our consideration, which the people have deputed us to investigate, the use of the language back then. Here's a good one. Anyway, basically called upon us to investigate. I cannot find any degree of propriety in reading those papers. In other words, here was a group of men, and these weren't just men. These weren't just, you know, casual, you know, delegates that were just sent. When we're talking Benjamin Franklin and we're talking George Washington, I just gave you the two biggest rock stars of the Republic. Do you understand that? Madison knew that he needed to have Washington, because the nation would follow the casting off of the AOC for this new government. Patrick Henry was the one that brought forth these papers, and he wanted to argue against this because he wanted to support the premise that this was a runaway convention. And here, these men recognized that this was not only an opportunity, there was an absolute capital R requirement for creating a new government, because this government was not for a perpetual union. It was for a slow death and destruction of the union. And those who controlled the fiefdoms of the states, whether that be Clinton and Henry and those other little statesmen out there that were the big anti-federalists, isn't it ironic that them and their ilk, once the Constitution was ratified, how they became the new federalists and started consolidating powers and started getting on board in doing what they were doing in their states. All unconstitutional. This is why Madison argued against the Assumption Act, why Madison argued against the bounties for the cod fisheries, and all of these other things that these new federalists wanted to start helping themselves and aggrandizing the mantle of power that they were at. I am here to tell you, my friends, that the Articles of Confederation was holding the states into an impossible, impossible union. There was only one solution, and the Declaration of Independence gave these men the the charter, gave these men the right and authority to do what they did. And if you can't put that into context, and you can't look at the Convention of States as to how what they're trying to do has nothing to do with the problem of the Constitution, it is how the government is not abiding by it. They even agree with this. I don't understand. Why is it that these other organizations aren't using that as the primary motive, instead of having to say out of one side of their mouth that the Constitutional Convention was a runaway convention? I don't see it. I disagree. And so in taking the position that we have to unite on the Constitution, you can't unite on a Constitution that was based on a bad premise. It was based on the proper premise of our fundamental rights and inalienable rights granted to us and endowed by our Creator. So as we start looking, the states need to start passing laws before they take any effort to consider a convention of states, that the people who think it's a good idea must provide not just some evidence, but strong evidence of one of these three reasons: that there are direct and blatant deficiencies within the Constitution. The Articles of Confederation were so inept that only hope for America was precisely what happened in that convention. And the Lord gave us that. The Lord blessed us with that. And I'm just amazed that nobody else has seen this and nobody else is looking and going, that's wrong. I am telling you, there are organizations, the Sovereign Citizen Movement and other organizations that have actually stated that we need to get back to the Articles of Confederation and amend those the way it should have been done. And you cannot deny the fact that when you say and claim that the convention of 1787 was a runaway convention, you only help these people justify their argument. The second justification, if they can't find deficiencies, what new role, responsibility, or power needs to be delegated? Let the states examine what power you are suggesting before they petition. Because, by the way, after we go through these three justifications, the logical feedback to this person, to this senator or representative at the state who's trying to champion this convention, the logical question is, that why don't we do this through Congress if this is a legitimate deficiency, if this is a legitimate power that the federal government needs, or this is a power that the federal government has that we don't believe they need anymore? Does that make sense? So when you actually shut the door so that the convention states can't use shills and bribe them or convince them to become their shills, then you're no longer going to be held hostage to these stupid debates. Why even have the debates? The debate in the state houses should be, how are we going to deal with all of this unconstitutional tyranny that we're living under? That's the debate. It's pretty simple. But while we're focused on this little war, we can't see the big picture. Because people get engrossed, just like abortion, just like Common Core, just like Obamacare, people get engrossed in such an immoral problem that they can't see the bigger picture. That every single immoral problem, every single little war that we're fighting has nothing to do with the real problem, and the real problem is the violations of the Constitution the federal government does not have the authority to do. And why is it that the states can't wake up and say, you know what, our child is run amok and we have to put the child back into compliance? We've given them very specific powers, and this is what they need to do. And so we want you to clearly understand that the argument is really flawed. And it's so flawed that it makes it hard for those of us who want to unite on the Constitution. Again, I believe the motives are organizational. I don't believe that organizations really do want. There are certain organizations that do not want to work with anybody else, and they've proven that for 60 years. There are other organizations that do work with them and or other organizations, and I think that is a blazing example we need to start using as we unite. Anyway, we'll get more into marketing as we move forward through this week. God bless. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.